Welcome back to The Positive View of Rural. I'm Becky McRae, and we're doing part two of an interview with Deb Brown. And Deb, we've come to the point in your story, we got all the way up through toilet paper in the last episode. And now we're going to talk about Webster City. And the reason I wanted to do a separate interview to talk about Webster City is because you made kind of a jump in your life from volunteering your way into a part-time job with a local chamber and being involved in a lot of stuff in the community and still doing your own business on the side, to you are now the full-time director of the Webster City, Iowa Chamber of Commerce.
That's right. And happy to be here, I might add. In Chamber World, you belong to email list that you follow, and you get to ask each other questions back and forth. And I found out on that list, that there was a position open in Webster City. So I went to Monster, because everybody uses Monster to post their list, job positions, and read about it and thought, well, gosh, I could do that. I really could do that. So I filed it away and kind of forgot about it. I told my friend about it, who said, eventually told me, if you don't apply for that position, I'm going to kick your butt. Enough already. So I did. I applied for it, interviewed, and within 2 weeks was working in Webster City, just that quick. Hired me on the spot. We gave my 2 weeks notice where I was, and came here and started working. Found a place to live, got involved in the community, and couldn't have made a better decision in my life at that time. Perfect.
We're going to take a side tour from rural here for just a minute to say your social media skills also helped with especially the job interview process. I remember you specifically said you and I have both been involved with the 140 conferences that Jeff Pulver put on. And then you and I have both put on 140 conferences. And the format there is 10 minutes.
Right.
And it turned out your job interview.
The first one. I was at the first job interview, it was over the phone, we talked. And then they brought me in and gave me exactly 10 minutes to introduce myself. So, of course, I was prepared. I can do anything in 10 minutes, you know. It's a great format. It works very well. But I also brought a one sheet, which is my resume in picture format, basically, with some pictures and some links that they could take at home and actually look at things. And see the kind of work that I had been doing. And that helped as well.
So, if people listened to the last interview that I did with you, they heard this whole broad list of things you've done in your life. And I think that this brings you certain characteristics that are, they're maybe not the usual thing, the usual chest of tools that a chamber director brings. I mean, somebody that's been doing chamber work all their life is going to come with a completely different set of tools. But you bring the idea that from anything, you can make something good.
That's right. You start where you are, start with what you have, no matter what it is, and build on that. You can build beautiful things.
You're also the kind of person that, like, the past is past.
Oh, okay, so what's done is done.
Yeah. And you also have a real affinity about personal relationships. It's all personal.
Everything is personal. I'm a very strong believer in that. You get what you put into something. So if I want better business, I'm going to put more into my business. I'm going to talk to the people that can make a difference. I'm going to pick up the phone and make phone calls. I'm going to get people together. I'm going to build relationships. That's how you create magic. You can't just sit down at your typewriter and type off a note and hope somebody reads it. You have to build it. You have to build it.
And you're a pick-up-the-phone kind of person.
I am a pick-up-the-phone kind of person.
And a drop-in on their office.
And I have an open-door policy.
And you drop in on other people.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's Iowa.
So, the past is past idea. Webster City had lost a major employer.
You know, and I'm not hesitant to say it's Electrolux. They left in 2011. And approximately 25% of the community was employed by Electrolux. That's a big drop. Now, they did a few things. Electrolux paid for people to go back to college and get educated or further education. Of course, there was the unemployment, but that's good for a year, year and a half. it was pretty hairy there in 2011 when they left. People were scared. They were frightened. What are we going to do? These people were making excellent salaries, and they'd worked there, some of them, all their adult life. So it was a real disruption in the way that things were.
But they had had some warning. This was not unknown.
But, you know, hope is a pretty powerful thing.
Sure. So the other, I got the impression, and I'm not from Webster City, but I got the impression that that was a dominating subject.
Yes.
That yes. All conversations about the economy started with.
Well, we lost Electrolux.
But you're a past is past kind of person.
Well, fortunately for me, I was able to come in with exactly that attitude. It's been a couple of years since they've left, and it was just perfect timing, Becky, really. It was, well, what are you going to do? They've been gone 2 years now. Let's move forward. Let's let it go. Learn the mistakes or learn whatever you need to learn, but move forward. Leave the past in the past. And I'm not 20 anymore. I'm 58 years old. And the fact that I'm older and female for the first time in my life have played favorably for me. It's kind of hard to upset me, to ruffle my feathers. I've had lots of experiences in my life, and it takes a lot to upset me. And you said earlier I was relentlessly optimistic. And that comes because I do believe in the power of people and the power of relationships and going forward. And that you can build from anything. You can start with a pile of sand and build a mountain out of it if you want to.
So the pile of sand you started with was a lot of empty downtown buildings.
Yes. When I first moved here, I drove down 2nd Street, which is our main street.
Your main street is 2nd Street.
Yeah, our main street is 2nd Street. Everybody, you know, population under 20,000 knows what I'm talking about. The where most of the traffic and the stores are is on 2nd Street. And in other words, Main Street.
Right.
But I drove down a 4-block, 5-block area, and there were 15 empty storefronts. And I had a choice. I could just ignore them and continue to try to work with the current chamber members. But I thought that wasn't a good choice. I thought it would be more important as a new chamber director, first of all, but also someone very interested in economic development and living rural and continuing to live in rural America to showcase these empty storefronts. Doesn't make a lot of sense when you think about showcasing empty storefronts, but let me tell you what we did. We went down to the county and we got information on every building, who owned it, some history behind it, how many square foot, all that kind of stuff, how much they were asking for it. Then we called the realtors and the owners and asked if they would be willing to participate in a tour of the empty buildings. And they, almost all of them said yes. And then my chamber champions, which are my retired associate members, they know everything. That's my coffee group. You know, they know everything. So I asked them if they would come and represent one of the buildings, take a building, and talk about what had been in there before and maybe share some ideas on what they thought could maybe come in there. And then we had the tour of empty buildings. We had a local engineering company that created the maps for us and printed them out and made them available. Our local newspaper ran with the press release and wrote an even longer story about it and talked about it. The local radio station picked it up. People were very excited to be involved in something new. They wanted to see what was possible. So when we had the tour, people came up for it. Not an awful lot of people, but those people went back to church and went home and went to their coffee clubs and started talking about it. Hey, did you know so-and-so has that building over here? And it's got a lot of room in there. Don't you have a kid that wants to start a business? Those kind of conversations. It's like, what was that game you used to tell?
Telephone.
Telephone, yeah. How about that? Telephone, same thing.
Yeah.
People really started talking. We got phone calls. We wrote about it. We shared it with other press in the state. You picked it up and printed it. I just received, lately, last week, an article from a New Jersey paper where they wrote about the tour of empty buildings. I know they did it in Oregon. They've done it in the state of Washington. I think somebody in Alabama or Georgia.
Mississippi is looking at it. They have it scheduled. It's coming right up, as a matter of fact.
And they're putting new twists and doing new things on it. I love seeing what people are doing with this idea, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we've brought in two new businesses into the community because of the tour.
Two new businesses. That's two buildings down.
That's two buildings down out of the 15 that I saw. We have an incubator. We have a building owner, a husband and wife building owner, that has put up two buildings up for to be used as an incubator space. So what that means is, you know, we're rural people. So incubators are traditionally used to heat, to hold above baby chicks so that they don't die.
And it helps them grow
and to keep them warm.
Yeah.
With the incubator space, their first 3 months of rent are free. And the next 9 months are at a reduced rate. And they will work very closely with the Small Business Development Center, the North Central Iowa Small Business Development Center. Write their business plan because we want people to succeed. We don't want them to fail. And having a valid business plan that gets you to look at the things you need to look at is so vitally important. And the Small Business Development Centers do that for free.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tool that you can get from most of your SBAs around the United States, actually. Mm-hmm. And they also know where there's money available because they work with banks and grants and all kinds of things. And who wouldn't want to know that information? So one of those new businesses is in that one of the incubator spaces, and we have another one open, and somebody's looking and going into that one.
So overall, you'd say that sounds like a success to me.
Yes. Yes.
I think that part of what makes this work is that people love to go into the old buildings. I borrowed a large empty building in the town of Alpha, Oklahoma. We did a wine tasting in there during a big festival in the downtown area. And we had more people walk into our wine tasting because they wanted to look at the building. I remember when there used to be a candy shop right over here because it was an old hotel and there had been a candy shop. And then they went ahead and tasted some wine. And then they went on with their day and either bought some wine or not. But people are inherently curious and they love to be nosy in other people's spaces. And then they'll spread the word to everybody in town.
That's right. And communication is really vital. Even if there's a lot of people that have moved here because we have a pretty decent cost of living and lower crime rate and work in Fort Dodge. So they've moved here. But what we're finding is that they have spouses that are interested in doing something.
Mm-hmm.
So we're beginning to have those conversations. It might be time to do another tour this spring again because we've got new people in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see what kind of spin we can put on it, but we certainly are very happy that we did it.
It also got building owners to clean up the fronts.
Oh, and you know that's huge.
It's incredibly huge.
Yes. So you have a vacant building that hasn't been rented for a couple of years, and it gets dirty and dusty. And so the building owners came out in force and did their job and cleaned the windows and swept the insides, and it helps beautify.
The other thing that you said that I really liked was it puts out a welcome sign for entrepreneurs, and I think that's incredibly key. Now, there's been follow-up projects to go with this that are not traditional chamber, or maybe are a little more traditional chamber projects. The design project.
Oh, let's talk about the downtown design project. This one really excited me. One of my staff members is an alumni for Iowa State University, and she gets their monthly magazine, in print magazine. And there was this article about the ISU design students were doing this project, and they were looking for a town that had 20 storefronts that wanted to be involved with their senior design students and redesign the outside of the store for them. So, you know, I picked up the phone right away and said, yeah, we'll do that. There was a cost of $1,200 to it. We got 20 stores. They bought in at $50 a store, and the chamber picked up $10 of that cost for them. And 23 students came to town last month and spent half a day with the store owners that signed up for it. And they're doing their presentation November 13th. We're excited about it. There are a lot of people coming from our community going to Ames, which is about a half an hour drive to the college, to see this presentation. The students normally do this during the day. We ask them to do it in the evening so that the store owners could go. There's a couple that students that can't be there. They will record their presentations. In January, we'll actually have all the print materials. And what we're looking at doing is having a gallery showing, maybe in one of the empty buildings, so the whole town can come by and see what the ideas are. The businesses were not obligated to actually do the design project.
Right. They don't. So the students proposed is not a mandate on the business owners. But it's a suggestion, and they can choose to act on it.
And, you know, if you were to bring a designer in to redesign your storefront, do you have any idea what that would cost you?
Yeah, actually. Yeah. We're talking thousands.
Thousands. So these are senior design students and those going for master programs, too. So we got the cream of the crop.
Now, I remember when you applied for this, you said, and if they say no, you already had your backup plan.
Right. We have a community college. We have design students at our local high school. We knew that we were going to do this because it just made brilliant sense. And they were, Ames, Iowa State University was extremely thrilled to be on board with us. It's been a fun project that the community is very interested in. And you know, once again, here we go, building relationships. Mm-hmm. So we're doing things downtown. We're trying to be as transparent as we can be so that everybody can see what's going on. And it's because we've started opening up the doors and having conversations with people.
So tell me about the street festival. You closed the street down and like four times. You did four street festivals.
We did. We actually did three with a program called Summer Nights. I like a good street party, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, so this was not an existing program.
This was something you guys just made up. We just made it up. We wanted to have local people be able to set up in the street. So the Wilson Brewer Park people, which is our museum people, came. And they said, well, we'll put a table and we'll hand out brochures. I'm like, no, you won't. We're not going to have that. Because I'd be the one that would have to pick them up because people would throw them on the ground. Bring something interesting. Do something different. So the first time that they came, they brought clothing for kids to try on from the 1800s and took pictures. They had such a huge crowd there. Everybody came. Adults, kids, had a great time dressing up in pioneer costumes.
Now, this was not the only feature of the summer night.
Oh, gosh, no. We had probably 20 different vendors that everybody did something different. Some had food. Some had candles that they sold. We had massage therapists were down there giving one-minute massages. So it's $1 a minute. Just all different kinds of things. We had live music, so people could hear live music, and the street was closed. So for one block, the street was closed, and at 9 o'clock in the park right adjacent to my office, we showed a movie at 9 o'clock in the dark.
On the side of had a big screen.
A big inflatable screen, yeah, that the city actually owned. We contracted with the city to do that, and they brought it over, set it up, ran it. We just had to pay for the movie. So that was their contribution as well.
Okay, so you've done that kind of festival now three times.
We did that three times. And then we got a phone call in July from Keith and Murphy. They're two local television sports guys from Des Moines, which is our biggest city in the state of Iowa, that wanted to know if we wanted to be part of RVTV. Now, what RVTV is, the Iowa State game is a big deal here.
We're talking local bedlam within the state rivalry.
Right. Biggest game. And the TV station goes to a different community in an RV every day, 5 days prior to the game. And then they broadcast from that community. and they asked if we wanted to be one of those communities. And, you know, I said, yes, of course we do. And he said, well, do you have to talk to your board? And I'm like, we'll do it. And, of course, my board was all over it. We planned it. We put different committees together for music and entertainment, and we had a chili cook-off, and we had tailgating, and you can't even begin to believe. There were over 2,000 people that attended that. They came from the community locally in a one-block square area. So the street was closed off in this one-block square area. Everybody had a good time. We raised a lot of money for charity because we had beanbag tosses that went to support one charity. And there was so much going on, I can't even begin to tell you. We got a really nice letter from the TV station, WHO-TV, saying that we were the biggest and the best ever in the five-year history of doing this. We had a good time. The community came out. They're ready. They're ready. Because there's possibility. When you can show someone possibility instead of negativity, you're always going to come out ahead.
So Webster City was in a tight spot before you came. And
as most small rural communities have been.
Well, any town that lost that significant of an employer would be. This is my point. So for any town that finds itself in a crisis of some sort, I think I'm starting to see a real trend that it's incredibly helpful to have somebody from nearby but not from home. Somebody with a little bit of an outside perspective, but not somebody with a completely foreign perspective. Someone with just enough of an outside perspective to go, those empty buildings, we could show those off. We can do something with that. And I think that outside perspective is incredibly valuable when somebody has at least enough context to be able to use the information.
I agree. I came to the community fired up, ready to go. Loved the idea of what this job was going to be. Had some ideas, things I wanted to try out and do. I have a working board and chamber members that are fantastic, and that made it a lot easier.
Yeah.
And we're having a good time here. We're trying things. We're trying to make things work. The town itself is currently without an economic development director. So whenever possible, if there's something I can do, I will.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get somebody, but for the time being, we're just working with what we have.
Yeah. Well, that's about all any of us can do. So how different are things than, you know, you came in with some ideas. Some of those can't have all gone the way you thought it would.
No. But, you know, that's the nature of any beast. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So you just try, you have to try it. And learn from what works and what doesn't work.
What's your next big crazy idea? Do you have a next big crazy idea for the town?
Kind of.
Can you talk about it yet? Is it too early to talk about?
It's a little too early to talk about it, but it involves agriculture.
Okay, well, that's a good line. Thank you very much for finishing up this story with me, and I look forward to the day that we get together the next time to podcast and we hear about the next set of stories of crazy things you've done.
Perfect. One more thing. I need to give you a website, and it's real simple. It's visitwebstercityiowa.com. So if you find yourself needing something to do, come see what we're doing. Thank you, Becky, for having me.
Thank you, Deb.